Right, it's a big year to you, or as I now have to constantly remember to say, SU Scotland, because people didn't understand what Scripture was, so we cut it out. But now they say, what does SU stand for? And you say Scripture Union, and now they say, well, what does Scripture stand for? And you still got to explain it. Anyway, we are SU Scotland, which makes us different from all the other SU branches around the world. And there are a lot all over the place, and around about 130 different countries. However, we are 150 years old as an international organization this year. And that means it's 150 years ago that a guy down in England called Josiah Spears wrote God is Love in the Sand and invited lots of children round about him to hear the gospel at the first ever beach mission. Yesterday, in fact, I was up at Lenjit Muir at the big celebration where they asked me to film a little bit of a recreation of that. Recreation of that, so that they could see it. And I thought, well, at the minute, I'm talking at Back to School with God Sundays. Wouldn't it be a waste if I shot all that footage and didn't get to show everyone else what I did? So this is my edit of the footage that I sent them. There you go. It turns out if you spend 3 hours on an Ayrshire beach, the tide comes in quite fast. So, thank you very much to my family for helping with that, and my brother-in-law who just wanted to play with his drone, really. I think that's it done now. I've showed it enough, have I? It's been embarrassing enough. Great. So we're 150 years old, which is exciting, but we don't just want to be, yay, haven't we done great for the last 150 years? We want to look at what we're doing now and in the future. So in Ayrshire, that looks really like supporting existing youth work, if you like. So our secondary weekend is coming up. Great plug, 3rd to the 5th of November, for anyone for S1 all the way up to S6. Good. 3rd to the 5th of November, and that is at Lenjit Muir, and it's great. We really enjoy doing that. And what I particularly appreciate about that, and I think other people do as well, is that people from all the different corners of Ayrshire all come together as one big happy family. Emphasis on the happy, and have a great weekend away there, learning from each other and the people that we have in to speak, but just spending quality time together, realizing that it's not just you in your small corner and them in theirs, but actually together we're something bigger, and finding fellow Christians in the region to have fellowship with. So that's great. We do that, and then we also encourage churches to build relationships with their schools. So whether that is by starting an SU group in the school, or whether it is in serving in some other way, maybe with Eastern Christmas presentations, church visits, creative religious observance, or religious and moral education, and trying to help develop relationships there. And also to equipping and building up pupils themselves to think about what their role as a Christian in their school can be. I can think back to my time at school, and basically we hid in a classroom far away with our SU group and hoped that nobody noticed we were there, until one day they moved us to the room which faced onto the playground, and it was just a nightmare. Numbers halved and faces came up to the window, and that was just the end of our SU group. So can we be more effective than that? What can we do in order to bless our schools? Can pupils take a role in running the SU groups? Are there other ways in which we can bless the schools? Yesterday, I was at the big celebration, and I heard about two things SU groups did. One was they raised, they set up the kind of shoebox appeal in their school. Now, there's a couple that go around. I think this one was for the Samaritans, and so they got the whole school to make shoeboxes, and they sent them off to places in Africa for Christmas time, which was excellent. And then another school, their school had a cross country, my goodness. But halfway around the cross country, the SU group set up a tuck shop and gave away juice and crisps and other sustenance in order to help people around the rest of things. Just creative things that people did. And so we really want to be like talking to people and helping them think about in what ways they can bless their school as well. We also want to see every school in Scotland a prayed for school, and so our Pray for Schools network is very important to us. We've got our own local branch here in Troon, which we're hugely grateful for, and the organisation that goes into that. But if you do pray for your school or a local school, then why not let us know so that we can tick that one off as being prayed for, but also so we can send you some stuff to help you do that. And also, so if I go to a new school, and I go to the prayer coordinator and say, I'm going to this new school, it's quite exciting. And they say, there's people praying for that school, and we can let you know what is happening to help you in your prayers a wee bit better. That would be excellent. And Katie has given me a blue folder full of exciting things to give you. for free, which is very nice. And one is our newsletter, which I know a lot of you will get anyway. If you don't get that and want to get a snapshot of what's going on, then please have a look in that. It's worth looking at just for this section that we've got in baptisms, actually. I believe Catherine Muir is featured in it. And just the role that SU has played in people coming to want to be baptized. That's very encouraging as well. And finally, I'm not allowed to speak about SU at the minute without mentioning the fact that we face a slight, maybe an understatement, financial challenge. Now, had you spoken to me at the start of the summer, I would have been standing here going, we have got £250,000 deficit to cover and we don't know how we're going to do it. Well, thankfully, to people who have generously increased their donations or started to become donors through not filling vacant positions and through cost cutting, we've managed to get that down into the tens of thousands, which is remarkable. If you're one of those people who support us, then thank you so much for that. It makes a world of a difference. However, there is still a gap. In Ayrshire, we are 75% funded, which means there's 25% of our funds that we pool from central reserves. And if everyone starts to do that, then it kind of filters down a wee bit. Now, I hate talking about money, which is why Katie's given me a letter, not to read out, that'd be boring, but should you be interested in the work of SU, should our vision to see every child in Scotland have the opportunity to read the Bible and respond to the significance of Jesus, then would you partner with us in that by giving? There's a handy direct debit form in colour, attached to the back, and a letter explaining exactly what all that is about. I will leave them at the front. There's no hard sell from me because I realise I'm speaking to a very friendly and already very supportive congregation. But if you could at least be praying for that for us, that would be very encouraging as well. And that is the news from SU for just now. Thanks. Right, now. Good. Oh, there we go. I'd better mention the weekend then, from the 3rd to the 5th of November for S1 to 6 at Lendrup Muir. Bookings open this week. Now, so there was that part of SU that I really loved, but also SU workers were amazing. There were these people that just walked on water, sat on pedestals, were the most holiest Christians you could ever possibly imagine. And you thought, these guys are amazing. And one day I can be a Christian like them. I am going to be doing really well. Now, I like to think none of you have done the same when it comes to me. But just in case that is the case, I'm going to tell you a story this morning which is going to shatter any illusion that that is the case. And it takes place a while ago when I was in a place called Glasgow. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a few miles north. And we lived there for a wee while. And the church that we were going to at the time was organising a sponsored walk up a Monroe. Now, I'd not been hill walking for a wee while, but I thought this sounds like a good idea. And it'll be nice to go out with the rest of the church and go up a hill. Anyway, so it's the Sunday before we're about to go. And after the service, everyone who's going comes to the front of the church and sits in the equivalent of those chairs there. And they try and work out how it is that they're going to get all these people to that hill in order to go up it. Because we're not going to walk to the hill. That'd be silly. We're going to drive to the hill. And so everyone is negotiating about who's going to sit in whose car, who's driving past who and makes sense to pick up the other person, who would have to go out of their way, in which case they'd have to get them. Who gets car sick and needs to sit in the front? Who needs extra legroom and needs to sit in the front? Who can't be a passenger at all and needs to take their own car? All those different things are being negotiated and toing and froing. And eventually we're beginning to fill up all the seats in the car and make sure we're not taking endless journeys. There's a problem with this negotiation, however. There's an elephant in the room, if you like. There is somebody sitting there that nobody wants in their car. There's somebody sitting there, and the reason they don't want him is because we're not sure when the last time he washed his clothes was, and they smell a little bit. And the thought of having that in your car for a whole journey on the way to a walk up a hill, it's quite bad. And so we're all sitting there and everyone's kind of looking around and they're all still negotiating things, but nobody's addressing this problem. Now, I'm sitting there and I have, five seats in my car and I have four people already in it, which means I've got a spare seat. So what do I do? The people who are already signed up to be in my car are sitting there looking at me. I'd like the space. We've got to fit our stuff in, remember? We've got to fit our stuff in, and we couldn't possibly have space. So what did I do? I wonder what you would do. To my shame, I sat there and waited and waited and waited and waited until somebody else, the poor pastor, volunteered his car in order to take that person. Not something I'm particularly proud about. And I liked it, and you're probably sitting there thinking, David, if it was us, for goodness sake, we would not be quite so selfish as you were there. But I wonder if you can think of situations whereby you have had something that you could let someone else have a shot of, to borrow, to use, to benefit from, but you're not really happy with that because by doing so, it might spoil your enjoyment of it. So whether that is taking a youth group like I did up to Glenshee and then vomiting in the back seat of the car, and don't take children anymore, or whether it is lending hedge trimmers to neighbours, so that they, you know, whether that is the person at school that very few other people talk to, you could go and speak to them, but would that risk your relationship with your group of friends? Is there sometimes things that we've got that we don't want to spoil our enjoyment of by letting other people in on? And I wonder if that comes to this, it's the same kind of thinking when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. Do we enjoy it so much? Do we enjoy coming to church as a fellowship of Christians? Do we enjoy going to SU weekends, 35th of November, to share in all of that? But yet we're hesitant to maybe share that with other people because it might be awkward for us. It might mean that we get a little bit of a slagging. It might mean that our enjoyment of our faith is spoiled or changed in some way, shape, or form. And so we're a little bit hesitant to do anything other than to keep it to ourselves. This is Back to School with God Sunday. I don't think we've mentioned that enough. Back to school. Some of you are back on Thursday. Some of you are going back soon. But it's a change of rhythm, isn't it, for many of us? Some of us are looking forward to starting university for the first time. Some of us are looking forward to going back to university, where all your friends are and where all the sights and sounds of the big city are. Some of us are going on to secondary school for the first time. Some of us primary school. Some of us nursery. Some of us are delighted that the rhythm of the household has gone back to normal and the bored children are out. And we can do all the things we used to do during the week. Some of us are carrying on completely as normal because nothing changed over the summer. We're still going to work every day, or we're still doing whatever it is we do every day. But whatever it is with us, I like to think that the couple of verses I've got for us this morning have something to say on that kind of thinking in terms of how we look to share what we have with other people. And I'd like to look at Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, he is called by God to go from the place where he is into another place, which basically means leaving all his security behind. And God says to him, he says, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, I will make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Here God is calling Abraham to go out in faith and to go somewhere. And because of him doing that, God is going to bless him. And he's going to give him all the stuff that matters, actually, in that society. He's going to give him descendants, a family name that's going to carry on, with which comes stature. He's going to give him land, with which comes money and stature and importance. He's going to make him famous, so other people are aware of who he is. There's that guy, Abraham. Look at all his stuff. Isn't he doing really well? God is calling him to leave all these things behind, but with the promise he's going to give them those things. Now, there's a danger when we read this passage that we think, well, hang on a minute, that's great. We follow God and we get lots of stuff. Can't wait for that. He's going to bless us and he's going to bless us with stuff and it's going to be amazing. But what has God Abraham blessed with here? He's blessed with the stuff, which is going to enable him to bless others. And so for Abraham, that actually happens to be stuff, and he's able to do that. But for us, in the places that we go, it might not actually be physical stuff. Because actually the biggest thing that Abraham's got is the fact that God is going with him into that situation. God is calling him from one place to another to be in a relationship with him. And the reason for that relationship is so that Abraham can be blessed, but also so that he can bless others. Now, let's see if I've got this right, because I put it on a slide. Is it the case, do you think, that every blessing that God gives us is an opportunity to bless other people? Every blessing that God gives us is an opportunity to bless other people. Abraham was called to go from the place where he was into this other place. He was told he was going to be blessed with all this stuff. But why? So that he could sit there and go, great, God loves me. I am so blessed. Yes, so he can appreciate God and all his goodness. But ultimately, so that he can be a blessing to others. So whether we're going tomorrow back to school, with our new teachers and sometimes our new classmates, off to secondary school, whether we're looking forward to going to college or university, whether we're going to work, or whether we're talking to our neighbours across the fence or trying to avoid talking to our neighbours across the fence, in what way can we be a blessing to them? How can we? That's a difficult question, isn't it? How can we bless our fellow pupils and our teachers and our school communities out of what God has given us? How can we bless our friends in our street? How can we bless our neighbours? How can we bless the people that go to the same clubs and societies as us? How can we bless the people that have not come in these doors this morning, but who remain outside? How can we bless these people through what God has given us? And that might be stuff. It might be that you've got the thing that your neighbour needs in order to do the thing. And that's a great chance to start up a conversation and have a chat, isn't it? By offering them a loan of... I keep coming back to hedge trimmers because I keep breaking hedge trimmers and know that nobody would ever lend me a hedge trimmer in their life. It might just be that you have the blessing of time. And so what can you do with your time in order to bless others? It might be that you have the real ability to make friends really well. Maybe you're the most popular person in the school. Or maybe you don't feel like the most popular person in the school. But maybe you can use that to include other people that don't feel quite as popular. Maybe you are a maths genius. It's interesting, these results chats. There was something trending on Twitter. Yeah, Twitter, so down with the kids. And it was No Wrong Path, that's what it was called. And what I noticed was that the number of Christian workers that seemed to have failed their exams throughout the years and have become pastors and SU workers and stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes some of the things that I did at school that I did well in was because I had friends that took me aside and said, listen, David, this is how it's done. And were able to make time for me in order to do that because they understood what I couldn't understand, and were able to be a blessing to me in that way. That's thinking about stuff, isn't it? That's thinking about abilities. That's thinking about things that we have. But what difference does your relationship with Jesus make in your life, which is blessing you, that you have the opportunity to share with someone else, in order that they too receive those blessings? Is our salvation something to hold on to and grasp and to protect under all circumstances and situations should anything endanger it? In some senses of the word, yes. Or is it something to be shared? Is it something to be offered to others? Is it something to bless our friends and our neighbours, our colleagues and our families and anyone else who doesn't fit into any of these categories? Every blessing from God, I think, is an opportunity to bless somebody else. Whether it is in things that you have, abilities that you have, time that you have, but ultimately the fact that God has blessed us with a relationship with him. God has blessed us with his son, Jesus. And we have a huge opportunity to share that with other people. And my challenge this morning is that we're not like me with that spare seat in my car, trying to decide whether it would get spoiled or whether it would not be quite the same if I let someone else use it. But actually, how we can use that to be a blessing to those. In whatever situation we find ourselves going to on Monday morning, whatever the rhythm of this coming term is going to look like for you, how are you going to use God's blessings for you in order to bless those round about you? With Scripture Union, we love to think in terms of schools and all the rest of it, but wherever you are going to be, how can you be a blessing to those round about you? Let's pray about those things, shall we? Let's pray. God, the song tells us to count our blessings and to name them one by one. And when we stop and we think about it, Lord God, you might not have given us lots of stuff, but you might have given us lots of stuff. We might not have given us exactly what we would aspire to or aim for or look on jealously at other people. But when we stop and we think about it, you have blessed us. You've blessed us here this morning with your presence and with this fellowship. You've blessed us with the time to be here. You've blessed us just by being in this country with that ability. You've blessed us in so many different ways, and we're sorry, God, for the times when we don't take that the way we should, when we take it for granted, we fail to acknowledge your blessing in our lives. But God, we also admit that we sometimes fail to use those blessings in order to share them with others, whether that is time or things or talents. But God, ultimately we know that the true blessing in this world, life, and the true hope of future blessings comes through your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he has revealed himself to us. We thank you that we know him as our Lord and our Savior. Lord God, embolden us and encourage us not to keep that to ourselves, to proclaim it to those round about us. As we seek to be a blessing to them, we would ultimately be looking to share you with them, that you may bless them and that they may bless others. As we think through where that would be, God, bring people to our minds, bring places to our minds, bring ways in which we could do this to our minds. And Lord God, give us the courage in order to be that blessing to others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.